And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Thanksgiving. It is on this year after limits on family gatherings last year due to the pandemic. White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci says families vaccinated against COVID-19 can feel good about enjoying a typical holiday. So how are you planning for the season? We've assembled a panel of chef experts and a local food writer to answer your Thanksgiving cooking questions and to share some cooking alternatives. You can join this conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or by emailing talk at wvxu.org. We're joined today by Cincinnati State Midwest Culinary Institute Chef Meg Galvin. Meg, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
We have Red Feather and Dutch's owner and chef, Brad Bernstein. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very thankful to be here.
And also Inquirer food writer Keith Pandolfi. Keith, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Michael. Good to be here.
Again, the number is 513-419-7100. Keith, I'll start with you. I wonder if your family is ever nervous when you show up for Thanksgiving. Do you review it? Do you put them on blast in the Inquirer if it's bad?
Oh, they don't have any esteem for me or, No, they don't get nervous. I stick to the classics. I don't get too fancy with Thanksgiving dinner ever. We just do the traditional turkey, green bean casseroles, stuffing, sweet potatoes.
Well, Thanksgiving is a food-centric holiday, and I'm wondering, as someone who writes about food for a living, what does the holiday just mean to you in general in that respect?
I mean, it's my favorite holiday. I do love the smells that fill the house up while you're cooking. It's a good time just to reconnect with friends, whether it's in person or just over the phone. I always try to check in on people during Thanksgiving. I just go all out. I get to put out the best china. Yeah. I make some cocktails. I really just try to enjoy myself.
Let's turn to Chef Meg Galvin from the Cincinnati State Midwest Culinary Institute. And Meg, I'm wondering, similarly, as someone who is an expert in food, what does the holiday of Thanksgiving mean to you?
You know, it's the same. It's that family's home. I have college-age children. They're home. I'm from a large family. My husband's from a large family. More importantly, I'm from a farm family. And I think, you know, what this holiday means, it's a celebration of a year's worth of work. If you think about all the producers through the year, planting their gardens in the winter, going through the summer and, you know, in harvest season. So, you know, Thanksgiving is a lot of sweet potatoes, butternut squash. And so one thing that we enjoy is that I'm going to be making a butternut squash soup from butternut squash that I grew, sweet potatoes roasted from our farm. So for us, it's reaping the rewards of the whole year for work on the farm.
I like the way you say sweet potatoes. It sounds like you and I are from the same part of the country. And yes or no, do they come with marshmallows in your house?
They do not,
oh,
but they
really?
Do come with, they do. We harvest maple sap from our farm.
Oh.
So I finish mine with some maple syrup, but I also roast them with a little bit of cumin. I have found that I kind of like that, and a little bit of red pepper flakes. So it's like that sweet heat.
That sounds great.
But no, unfortunately, no marshmallows. Sorry.
Well, we also have with us Chef Brad Bernstein, Red Feather and Dutch's owner. And Brad, share with us your general thoughts about this food-centric holiday as someone who is an expert in food.
Well, I'm going to piggyback both off of Keith and Meg that it's just a special day to kind of reflect and think about what you're thankful for, what you have, what has privileged you, and all the hard work and effort that's been put into the year, and kind of setting the hallmark, you know, for the holiday season to come and just celebrating community together.
We'll go right to the phones here at 513-419-7100. Judy is up first. Hi, Judy. What is your question or comment?
Hi there. Mine is similar to what you just discussed, I believe. I want to fix sweet potatoes, but I don't want them real sweet. And I have a niece allergic to nuts. So I was wondering about a savory idea for my sweet potatoes.
All right, Judy, I will place you on hold. And I'll turn back to Meg. Would you share a little more detail about how you prepare sweet potatoes, as blasphemous as it might sound to some of us?
I sure will. One of my favorite things to do, it's called high roasting. So I high roast broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and sweet potatoes. So what you basically do with the sweet potatoes is you really want a nice hot oven. Turn your oven on about 425 degrees. Peel the sweet potatoes, and then you want to try to cube them to a consistent shape, about 1/2, 3/4 inch, but just so long as they're consistent. And then I toss them in a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper. I do a little bit of cumin that, you know, that's a little non-traditional, but if you're looking for more of a savory, you could, for Thanksgiving, add some crushed sage. That would be nice. If you have rosemary still, if you had an herb garden, or you could pick up some rosemary at the grocery store, you could also dried rosemary, roast them with that. So you're going to put them in a nice sheet pan or a baking casserole, and just make sure you turn them as they're roasting so that you get caramelization on all sides. And it's about 20 minutes, start to finish.
So Judy, how does something like that sound for you?
That sounds great. She mentioned broccoli and sweet potatoes and what else?
Meg, in addition to
Brussels
sweet potatoes
sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
So I kind of do the same thing with all of them. I like that high roast because you get some caramelization on the vegetables, and it just gives it a nice taste, especially like a fall winter taste for the vegetables.
There you go, Judy. Thank you so much for the call. I hope it works out for you this week. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And you can join us too at 513-419-7100 or email your thoughts to talk@wvxu.org. Now, Keith, it is possible that even this late in the game, I suppose, that if you don't want to cook this Thanksgiving, some of the local restaurants are offering some opportunities for you to just shell out some cash and basically go pick it up, right?
Yeah, and the deadline is for a lot of them has passed, but there are a few that are still accepting orders up through Wednesday, including Dutch's Larder, which has a really nice Thanksgiving dinner with a 20-pound turkey and all sorts of fixings there. Order by, oh no, the deadline has passed, Brad. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I think we're still taking orders up through this evening. So I think if you get your order in by 5, we'll have your food ready by Wednesday.
Well, Brad, tell us, how is that going? Are you getting a lot of calls, a lot of orders?
Not as many orders as we got last year, but I think last year with the restrictions,
right,
we had a lot of orders come through, and we kind of focused more on smaller gatherings. So last year, not a lot of people were getting together, so the need for a 20-pound bird wasn't as critical. But this year, we wanted to really use our connections to kind of provide people with a local fresh turkey and all the fixings made kind of in a chef-driven way, but still classic.
Now, when you're putting a menu together for Thanksgiving for something like this, Brad, what are the must-haves?
Well, the must-haves for Thanksgiving are stuffing, mashed potatoes, and green bean casserole, and of course, turkey and cranberry sauce. So I think those are no-brainer, and those are the items that I think we've tried to cover with our Dutch's offering. But from there, it's great to branch out and have all kinds of different side items and dishes that you can take advantage of. And I think one of the neat things about Thanksgiving is celebrating where you are, so taking advantage of the local harvest and having that reflect, you know, the region, the space that you live in at that time. So it's a really, I don't know, it's just a neat time to kind of enjoy what's available in the bounty of the season.
We're talking about the bounty of the season and Thanksgiving and answering questions you might have about a dish you're preparing, some questions you might have about how to prepare it better, or where to go out and find something. If you don't want to prepare anything yourself at all, you can call us at 513-419-7100. We are joined today by Cincinnati State Midwest Culinary Institute Chef Meg Galvin, Red Feather and Dutch's owner and chef Brad Bernstein, and Inquirer food writer Keith Pandolfi. Again, 513-419-7100, or email talk at WVXU.org. Let's talk about stuffing, because this is obviously something that I only know of being served at Thanksgiving. I suppose it can be served anytime if you so choose, but we've heard some conflicting reports about whether your bird should be cooked with stuffing inside it or not. And Meg, can you help us clear this up?
Yeah, you put me on the hot spot. you know, the thing is, if grandma's done it her whole life and she's 90 years old, don't ruin her day. But ideally, you do not stuff large birds. You can stuff a Cornish hen, which is a small bird. There's lots of reasons why you don't want to stuff large turkeys. About a 20-pound turkey is that because you've stuffed that inner cavity, you have basically raw juices on the stuffing, and you need to get that turkey to 165 degrees for the white meat, ideally 170, 75 to the dark meat. And if you do that, it inhibits that stuffing from getting up to that safe temperature zone. So it is recommended from a food safety standpoint to cook your stuffing on the side. The other thing too is from a quality standpoint, if it's being basted with juices the whole time, it can become soggy. And the third thing is you lose a little bit of control on how many servings you have. So, you know, I just recommend cooking it on the side. I think you have much more control. You can add in more flavors, and I think it's safer. But don't get into an argument with grandma over it. It's just not worth it.
You should never get into an argument with grandma anyway. I want to ask about brining next. And Brad, I understand that part of the menu that you're offering at Dutch's is you've got a 20-pound turkey that is brined. For those of us who don't know, what does that mean exactly?
Well, brine is simply just kind of a salt and sugar solution that you can add flavor to the meat, and you add a little bit of a textural difference, and it allows you a little bit more control so that you get a moister, better tasting finishing product.
Go on.
The other thing I like about brining, as far as I'm big on crispy skin, is that through the brining process, you change the texture of the meat just very slightly. And after you brine it, it's best to let it air dry, and then it gets nice, tacky kind of skin to it. So if you're doing any butter, herbs, or anything like that, it really sticks to the skin and ends up getting you a real crisp finished skin product, which is always a highlight for me for Thanksgiving.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation or to ask a question. Joe is on the line. Hi, Joe. What's your question or comment?
Well, I wouldn't argue with any of your panel, but I would like to add a new dish outside the traditional, Thanksgiving table goodies. And believe it or not, here's a tiny question. I really enjoy jelly cranberry, and my brother-in-law always mixes Grandma Stanford's cranberry dish, and, you know, it's loaded with horseradish. So the first question is, how do I do these two things?
How do you introduce a dish that might be a bit off the beaten path as it relates to a Thanksgiving menu? And then what would be your second one?
The second one is, if I bring jellied cranberry and my brother-in-law has already made, you know, Grandma Stanford's.
So you might have competing, you know, cranberry dishes is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like, ooh, I don't like yours, which is true.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting. I might like to follow up with you after Thanksgiving to see how that goes. But let's place you on hold first, Joe. Keith Pandolfi is an Inquirer food writer. And Keith, I imagine as part of your job, you are trying a lot of dishes that might be familiar to us on a very basic level, but a chef tries something new with them. How do you recommend somebody introduce something like that?
Well, I think having competitive dishes is great at Thanksgiving. I've been to Thanksgiving dinners where we've had three kinds of stuffing and two kinds of cranberry sauce and different versions of sweet potatoes. So the more the better, I think. Elevating a dish, there's nothing wrong with it. When I do my green bean casserole, I use the recipe. I used to do the Campbell's, recipe that a lot of people use, but now I use one from a chef named Donald Link down in New Orleans, and I fry my own onions for the top instead of using the Durkee brand. Some people think it's a little too rich, but I always invite them to bring their my wife's parents, in fact, are probably going to bring their own version because they find mine too rich. So introducing something good is always there's nothing wrong with it, but I think that it's okay to have two versions of each of a dish on the table.
Well, let me ask Chef Meg Galvin as well. Is that okay to do if sibling rivalry playing out on the Thanksgiving table?
Absolutely. We have a version that I make. I make it with serrano peppers. And then my dad always, always love the cranberries with the rings, meaning straight from the can. So we always have that in honor of my dad. And then I make another version that is sweetened with oranges. So, it's just offering variety. And I think it just brings more to the table. The more variety you have, the better. And it pleases everybody.
There you go, Joe. How do you feel about that answer?
Well, good stuff. But my real question was, I want to bring a sweet potato casserole, and that is just not part of our usual thing. So the question is, how do you introduce that as maybe a new addition without...
Well, what part of the world are you living in where sweet potato casserole has never been introduced at Thanksgiving?
Right here in the center.
All right, Joe.
And I adore it.
Oh, it's the best.
I want to share it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll hang up and turn it over to the panel here. Thank you so much for the call, Joe. Good luck and happy Thanksgiving to you. Brad, if Joe wants to bring a sweet potato casserole, I mean, that doesn't sound too outside of the box.
They just bring it. I think the dish will speak for itself, and you'll turn some new fans at your Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, no question. Well, if it's done right, it's the best.
Especially if you put marshmallows on top of it.
You'll have the kids
and everybody alike clamoring for it.
Thank you, Brad.
You can't go wrong.
Exactly. I'm so glad one of you came back to that because I was starting to sweat. Am I wrong?
I'm pro marshmallow too.
All right. Well, look, I've got about a minute left, and I want to take the opportunity.
The only time you can eat marshmallows at dinner time, how can you pass that up?
Agreed. Marshmallows are good on s'mores. They're good in hot chocolate, and they are good on sweet potatoes for some unbeknownst reason. I want to be selfish in the last minute and ask a question about Brussels sprouts because they did come up moments ago. And I love Brussels sprouts, even when they're just plain old boiled Brussels sprouts. But I mean, like for the past few years, Brussels sprouts have been like having this moment, and you can go to a variety of restaurants and have them served in all these unique ways. I was in LA last week and ate at a place called The Village in Studio City on Ventura Boulevard, and they smother them in this apple cider. I'd never had them this way, and they're so good. In the last 30 seconds I have together, can any of you tell me how much longer Brussels sprouts will be having this moment? Because I'm in love with this.
Forever.
Good. Meg says forever.
I don't see the trend slowing down. It's hard for me being, I guess, in my 40s, not really experiencing Brussels sprouts, probably till I was 25 years old, and them having this horrible stigmata about them, about being this terribly bitter, awful Brussels sprouts. I don't know what mothers and families were doing back, but they're just a great vehicle for fat, salt, and heat, and sweet. So I don't see them going away. They are extremely versatile. We use them, you know, halved and roasted on that high roast. We do them deep fried. I chiffonade them and make a nice slaw out of it, pair it with apples.
Well, they're very versatile, and perhaps they will not jump the shark until we try to put marshmallows on them. My thanks to Meg, Brad, and Keith. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
We'll talk again tomorrow.